Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Reagan Rose on the benefits of having a long-term or eternal perspective on living the Christian life.
When we aim at, we'll call it eternal success, being faithful, temporal success does often, I'll emphasize that again, often, not as a rule, but it does often follow. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis I like. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. And I think that's some good wisdom right there.
Reagan Rose, next. Bible teacher and author Reagan Rose sees lessons for Christians in the seemingly disastrous explosion during the initial flight of Elon Musk's massive rocket. He's written about it in his piece, The Man with the Longest-Term Vision Wins, Five Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk. Reagan Rose is the author of Redeeming Productivity. Reagan, billionaire businessman Elon Musk is a controversial figure to be sure, but you see some helpful insights for believers in his employees' reaction to the recent failed launch of his rocket. Tell us about that.
A lot of people were watching these rockets. They do them every so often with SpaceX. It's becoming more and more frequent. But Elon Musk's rocket company, I guess, SpaceX, they had a launch of their largest rocket yet back at the end of April. And it only went up in the air for about 4 minutes before it completely exploded. And because, like you said, you know, Elon Musk is pretty controversial right now in the media, everyone kind of jumped on it and said, look at this failure from this guy. But immediately, the SpaceX came out and said, you know, this was a successful mission, and they were just going on and on about how this was a success. And when I saw that, I said, is this just them trying to cope with it? But the more you look into it, you start to realize, no, they view it as a success because they had a longer view than just get this rocket up there. They have actually a much, much longer view of what they're trying to accomplish as a company.
Well, and I want to ask you about that long-term vision, but before we get to that, just kind of parenthetically here, you describe, and I'm sure he's been described this way elsewhere, Elon Musk as a secular humanist, so we're not emulating him, we're just, as a Christian, we're just looking at this particular aspect of his life. What is it that seems to drive him to do these sort of things?
Yeah, he's a very singular figure for a lot of reasons, not just because, you know, he's the richest man in the world, but I find him very fascinating, even though, as you mentioned, he is an unbeliever. He's fascinating because there doesn't seem to be any like clear through line of the different things he does. He has an electric car company. He's got the Boring Company, where they want to make tunnels underneath the world. The rocket company, like we mentioned, and now running Twitter. But if you look back at interviews from him, Elon Musk has this really, really strong view that the basically salvation of the human race, that's why I call him a secular humanist, lies in creating colonies in outer space, basically outliving this planet. And it's something he actually believes, and it actually explains basically all of the things he gets into. And so I think that when you start to recognize that he really does, this objective of getting to Mars and building a colony there actually is the thing controlling all the stuff he does, you start to see that through line, and you start to see how he could even look at something like a rocket exploding and be like, nope, successful mission, because he wants to achieve something much bigger than a rocket launch.
Because, as you say, you describe it as his long-term vision. So he has long-term goals, something he's trying to get to. So the steps along the way, where they, in the short term, they look like failures, but he's just looking at them as steps to this eventual hoped-for dream, if you will.
Yeah, I compare it to, you know, if you look at like the stock market or something, if you zoom in too far, the graph looks all bumpy, right? But when you zoom way out, you see how things are trending upwards. You look at with the any kind of market thing like that. And I think people like Musk with a long-term view, we often, you know, we're way zoomed in. We have this myopic view of something like, you know, if your rocket blows up, you think, oh man, what a failure. But when you're living in that really far zoomed out view, it gives you perspective, right? And I think that's really the big principle and something I think is admirable about the way Musk approaches things is he has that zoomed out view and he sees very clearly in perspective, even really big failures is just minor setbacks in comparison to the end goal.
So that is interesting. You see there the, if you will, an application for believers in Jesus, looking at that long-term vision. And you even point out that other billionaires like Jeff Bezos also want to colonize space and do similar kinds of things. But talk a little bit about at this point, as we begin to move into the application for Christians. It's interesting to look at this and the long-term vision, but what does it have to do with us, believers in Jesus in our Christian lives?
Yeah, basically my thesis there is the man with the longest term vision wins, right? And so you look at many, many people who are temporally successful, right? They're successful in this life, like Musk, like Bezos, even Richard Branson of the Virgin Group. He has his own rocket company. And you see this over and over again, that they all, even from their youth, has been interested in these very long-term views of space colonization of all things. And the takeaway there, I think, is their success temporally is not incidental to that long-term view. I think it's a byproduct of that. And as Christians, we're not trying to, you know, preserve the human race through getting them to outer space. We're trying to proclaim the news that Jesus Christ has come to save the human race by dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. We're trying to proclaim the good news. And if this is true principally, that the man with the longest term vision wins, that long-term vision tends to lead to lots of good outcomes, then Christians of all people ought to really be zeroed in on the long-term vision we have. Basically, it's basically a roundabout way to say we should be eternally minded. That's all I'm trying to say with this piece is when we think eternally minded, good things happen. We proclaim the gospel without fear. We suffer. We're patient. Like, there's all these different knock-on benefits that happen when Christians take the long-term view. And so I think when you look at the life of somebody who's, you know, a billionaire, though not an unbeliever, I think he's exhibiting an aspect of this common grace type wisdom that ought to be ours way more than it is.
Well, my guest today on His People is Regan Rose of Redeeming Productivity. He's also the author of the book Redeeming Productivity. We're talking about his recent piece, The Man with the Longest Term Vision Wins, Five Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk. And you say in your piece, Regan, that you believe the great weakness of our generation of Christians is our lack of what you've just been describing, our lack of a long-term outlook. Why do you believe that is the great weakness of our generation?
I think when we think short term, that's when things go wrong, right? When I think short term, that's when I'm trying to preserve my reputation instead of being bold for Christ. When I'm thinking short term, that's when I'm fearful rather than faithful. Like over and over again, you see this throughout the Proverbs, actually, in the wisdom literature in scripture, this idea of being diligent, of looking ahead, planning ahead, this is commended, it leads to good outcomes. But for Christians especially, when I fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, what am I doing? I'm remembering who he is, and most importantly, I'm remembering his promises are true. And that allows you to zoom way out, and you start to see even the really hard things in life as bumps along the way to this bigger thing. So I really think that long-term view is it's one of the most important things we could regain. And just with our era, with so much distraction, so much, you know, the news, all these things drawing our eyes back away from heaven and back down to the earth, no wonder we stumble in so many different ways because we're taking our eyes off of Christ.
I'm wondering if you could describe for us or locate maybe an example or two of this long-term mindset and where you see it in Scripture.
I think a big one you see, especially is in the early church, right? When the apostles are persecuted, when they're thrown in prison, for example, you find them rejoicing, right? They rejoice that they are counted worthy of suffering for Christ. And you think, how can they do that? And I think to unbelievers, it seems like an irrational response. Like, you can't be happy, even as James commands, you know, to be joyful when we suffer. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does when you take the long-term view. When you're thinking out of it with an eternal mindset, it makes sense because you recognize that the promises of Christ are greater. You recognize that he is a rewarder of faithfulness, and he commends us for long-suffering. And when you really have that view, these things, again, I hesitate to call them minor inconveniences, but they start to feel like that, even life-changing, life-shaking disasters that befall us, they do shrink in proportion to what is awaiting us in heaven. And that ought to be our view all of the time.
You write about the importance of believers. I like this phrase that you use, Reagan, working backwards from well done to a God-glorifying life. Talk about that, if you would. That's a particularly encouraging way to look at it, I think.
Yeah, so I take that from the parable of the talents, right? It speaks about the three different stewards being entrusted with different amounts. And at the end of it, the two faithful stewards are commended and rewarded by the master. And everyone knows, Christians, we know this phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. So when I talk about working back from well done, I think one of the most powerful things we can practically do as believers is to set that aim, that commendation of Christ, as the clear, I guess, goal point of our life, where I'm aiming towards a life that is well-pleasing to the master. And when I do that, other things start to fall into place. So when you work backwards from, how do I live a life that's well-pleasing? How do I live a life such that when I meet Christ, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then I plan backwards for that. That is how you actually practically can get down to, you know, a year that is well done, a month, and even day to day and moment to moment, because it's all has this thread that leads all the way up to, how do I glorify God in my life? How do I get to well done? I love this quote from Thomas Watson. He says that, the glory of God must be the silver thread that runs through all of our actions. I love that idea. It's this connecting thing. I'm living a life to glorify God, and that's going to connect 5 years from now all the way down to this very moment. And when we keep that straight in our minds, that's having that eternal outlook. That's having that well done.
Well, in your piece, The Man with the Longest Term Vision Wins, 5 Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk. Of course, the subtitle there is, you have 5 benefits of this long-term or eternal mindedness you say that believers will experience. You just gave us an introduction to it. One is temporal success, help us to understand that. I know you make it clear in the piece that you're not advocating any kind of prosperity teaching.
Yeah, I was hesitant to even put this one in there, but I think it is something that sometimes maybe we've overreacted against the prosperity gospel, which is a heinous, awful thing, but we, in so doing, sometimes we neglect the very true things that scriptures teach about there being a connection between righteousness, diligence, and temporal blessing. Again, you know, there's so many proverbs about this very thing that tie diligence, wisdom, righteousness to earthly gain. Now, that's not why we do those things, but it's true that God is one who rewards us and blesses us in this life. It's not always true. There's exceptions, and we think of Job, we think of the suffering that accompanied the apostles, like we talked about earlier. But generally, principally, when we aim at, like, what I'll call it, eternal success, being faithful, temporal success does often, I'll emphasize that again, often, not as a rule, but it does often follow. There's a quote by C.S. Lewis I like. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in, aim at earth and you will get neither. And I think that's some good wisdom right there. If you aim at temporal success, you aim at getting all the best, most you can out of this life, it's going to evade you. But when you aim at heaven, when you have that eternal mindset, things tend to follow.
And I like the way you explain the Proverbs, the principles in the Proverbs, that they are, I've heard this explained other places too, that they are general principles, but they're not guarantees necessarily, because Jesus also promised, as you said, persecution and suffering and so forth, but general principles.
Yeah, and I think the reason that we, even when you read the Psalms, you know, where David is like, why is it that the wicked are prospering? It's because it's an exception to the rule. When you look at the life of Job, you're like, how can this have happened to a man who's righteous? Like the reason that's so hard for us to wrestle with is because we understand that something's wrong about that. And that is the case in a fallen world. And what we do in those situations is that we actually do the same thing. We take an eternal mindset. We remember that the same God who does bless us temporally at times does also send trouble to us that we might be refined, but ultimately that's going to result in our blessing on the eternal timeline. And so it's like a time and again, no matter what you face, that the answer is to back up and zoom out and remember the promises and the faithfulness of God. That's kind of like the big picture thing that I wanted to drive at with this.
Well, another of the benefits, the second one you talk about, Reagan, the five benefits of this long-term or eternal mindedness that you say believers will experience is peace in the face of failure. And it kind of reminds me of the beginning of our conversation, but it, not that necessarily they were operating as believers, but there was an example of it. But can you talk about that?
That was kind of the big thing that was driving me as I was thinking about this, is how did these guys at SpaceX view the explosion mm-hmm. of like a $1 billion rocket as a success? And how do they have peace in the midst of failure? It's because they had the longer term view. And I think for Christians, how do we have peace in the midst of major setbacks, illness, even death in the family, persecution? How do you do that? Again, it's you can have those things when you have the long-term view of what Christ has promised. Prisons, beatings, even execution, right? Even going that far, it's not a failure in the light of eternity and a God who rewards faithfulness. So we can also, I think more so, I should say, than Musk and these guys with the rockets, we can have peace in the midst of life's worst failures when we are focused on God's promises. And I think that's really the only way, because otherwise you're just staring at circumstances.
And you say this is a good way to, if you will, address or undercut complaining in our lives. Maybe yeah. we've had a tough work week or whatever.
Yeah, because I think the inverse is true, right? When you have I kind of mentioned this earlier, when you have a short-term view on things, what do you look at circumstances, say, oh, things are so hard. But that kind of complaining is a symptom of that short-term thinking, where we're forgetting God's providence, we're forgetting his faithfulness, we're forgetting his promises, and we're just fixated on the thing in front of us.
Well, risk tolerance. We're talking about five benefits of this long-term or eternal mindedness. Risk tolerance, of course, it has kind of a business sense, an investment sense to some, but you're talking about in the Christian life.
Yeah, you know, in the business world, they talk about risk. They talk about, you know, you would make an investment. You're venturing something, hoping for a good return. But I think it's a good analogy for a lot of what we do in life, too, is when we take an opportunity or, you know, the Lord sends us someone to talk to, it's a chance. It's a risk. And a lot of times we pull back from that. And I think that too, is a symptom of short-term thinking, right? So you have a coworker who has sort of like, you know, set you up to start talking about the gospel, but you pull back from that and you think, that's too risky. What if I get fired? What about my reputation? What if they think I'm a weirdo? But long-term thinking makes you think this person's eternal destiny is more important than my reputation. In fact, it's more important than my job. It is not a reasonable exchange. I think we often make this excuse to ourselves. We think, oh, well, I could get fired for sharing the gospel at work, so I shouldn't do it. It's like, well, is that really a reasonable exchange when you actually consider the stakes of this thing? It's not actually that big of a risk by comparison to, you know, the wrath to come that's due to every person who doesn't know Christ. So I think that principally here, the point is that long-term thinking believers are going to be more likely to take God-glorifying risks. And that really is one of the things I think our generation needs more of, less playing it safe and more laying it on the line for Christ.
And you just sort of parenthetically mentioned in your piece that you believe Christians can tend to, at least often, be far too cautious
I think so. I think, you know, like a lot of people in this time we live in, we've sort of fallen into the trap of safism, you know, that really the highest good is this, whatever pragmatically leads to you being as safe as possible, whether that's, you know, physically, reputationally or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I do think that is in large measure what we could blame for a lot of our ineffectiveness. The ineffectiveness of the church right now is we're not willing to take risks because we want to play it really safe.
Mm. Another one of these five benefits of this long-term or eternal mindedness, this is the fourth one, is patience. And can you talk about that? How is it a benefit, maybe a byproduct of eternal mindedness?
Yeah. I think this is sort of the other side of the risk one. I think someone could hear me talking about risk and be like, oh, so I should go be reckless. Well, no, that's not quite it. You think in baseball terms, right? There are times when you want to swing for the fences, when an opportunity comes your way and you want to swing for the fences. But if you swing at every pitch, that doesn't really work. And so another really great benefit of being a long-term thinker and really being eternally minded is you are patient. You're confident that you can wait for the right opportunity, because when you trust in Christ's promises, you're sort of playing the long game. You're more willing to do things, for example, that may appear unproductive in the short term, but which in the long term you're assured of their efficacy. And I think one of the big examples of us being short-term thinkers is in our prayer lives. Probably anybody listening to this would say, I don't pray as much as I ought. I don't pray as much as I ought. And I think a big reason for that is because we don't think in the long term. It requires time. It requires focus to pray and really be present in that. And I think it's our short-term focus, always being in a rush. That's what keeps many of us from actually praying as we should. And if we were a bit more long-term thinking, I think we'd be a lot more patient with prayer and in many other ways as well.
It seems that Charles Spurgeon had some advice along these lines.
Yeah, I love this quote from Spurgeon. He said, "Do not be in a hurry. Make time for prayer, for this is the way to gain all the time you need." That's some good productivity advice from Charles Spurgeon, I'd say.
For sure. Well, my guest is Regan Rose. He's author of the book Redeeming Productivity, which is also the name of his ministry. We're talking about a piece that he wrote, very thought-provoking, "The Man with the Longest-Term Vision Wins, Five Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk." As you've explained, Regan is one that displayed long-term thinking in the aftermath of the seeming failure of the explosion of his rocket shortly after takeoff. Well, we've come to number five of these five benefits of long-term or eternal mindedness, applications that you take from that. And the last one is a readiness to serve. And how does that come from eternal mindedness?
This one, I think, comes Randy Alcorn, who his ministry, Eternal Perspective Ministries, he wrote the book Heaven, Treasure Principle, a lot of great books. He's a great a great Christian thinker on helping to point us back to being eternally minded. But he had a quote where he said, "The more focused we are on eternity, the more focused we will be on the lives of the needy here on earth." And so this is perhaps an unexpected byproduct of having an eternal mindset, but you actually are more willing to invest in relationships and people when you're thinking eternally, because, you know, you remember that of the things that remain, right, relationships, love is one of the things that actually remains. So short-term Christians, I think we view maybe a productive life as one in which we're like meeting our little goals, we're finishing our projects, we're paying the bills, we're doing the week's tasks, and other things like relationships can kind of get in the way of that, right? Those are interruptions. But when we shift to being more eternally minded, we see sort of the necessary slowness of relationships as actually a worthy investment of our time. And we recognize that investing in people and relationships, that actually pays the greatest rewards in the long term. And even though, like, loving people, it's not very efficient, it is always worth it, but you're not going to have that mentality unless you have a very long-term view.
Well, how would you suggest, Regan, as we've talked about this, your piece, The Man with the Longest-Term Vision Wins, Five Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk, and you've talked about the benefits of having a long-term vision, an eternal mindedness, which is what God wants us to have. How would you suggest people begin to develop if they feel like they're more in a short-term mindset, as you've described, doing things day-to-day and maybe rushing past some of these important things? Is there something that we can do to develop that eternal or long-term vision for our lives and how we view productivity, in fact?
Yeah, I give kind of two sets of things. I think the first set of things is relatively obvious, but important nonetheless, is you're not going to have an eternal mindset if you're not in the scriptures daily and reminding yourself, not just learning new things from the scriptures, but reminding yourself of that long-term outlook of who God is, of that he's in control, of that he's made these great and wonderful promises that are yours in Christ. Being a part of a local church, spending time in prayer, as we discussed. I think those are kind of, that's, you must be doing those to develop an eternal mindset. So that's one side of the equation. But I do think we would be wise to take care of the other side as well. So if those things draw our eyes heavenward, there are things that we could eliminate that tend to draw our heads, our eyes downward. And I think some of those is maybe spending a little less time on the news or even on Twitter or these different things that are short term, that make you think short term, that draw you back to the short of here and the now, this is what's most important, that kind of stuff. I know in my own life, the less time I spend on media or the news, the more my eyes can kind of stay looking at Christ. Whereas I just find myself continually drawn back to short-term thinking when I'm always living online or plugged into something.
Well, Reagan, you are the founder of Redeeming Productivity. You're the author of Redeeming Productivity. And I'm wondering if you can tell us about that and really what's meant by Redeeming Productivity.
Yeah, so I really have always loved productivity, getting stuff done. But when I talk about redeeming it, what I really mean is I think it's a Christian concept. I think it's a biblical concept that Jesus has called us to bear much fruit for him and that we can live lives that please him, that we can steward our lives well. And part of doing that, of course, is walking with him daily, but also learning some of the practical things like how to set good goals, how to develop habits, and those sort of things. So that's what I do with Redeemed Productivity. I write a newsletter. I have resources like a free morning routine planner that you can get on there with some different Bible reading plans you can use, help you plan your day. And I create these resources to help give Christians both the practical side of things, how do you do this, and really the principles as well. This is why this matters, to be eternally minded, to live a life that's well-pleasing to God.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Bible and author Reagan Rose. You can read his piece, The Man with the Longest Term Vision Wins, Five Lessons for Christians from the Life of Elon Musk, at redeemingproductivity.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Ray Rising on being kidnapped for more than 2 years as a missionary.
Never lost hope. But my faith grew a lot during that time, of course. Since I had the scriptures in my language, the Lord spoke to me. And I had, after a while, they gave me a little radio, and I was able to get some programs from HCJB in Ecuador in English, especially Sunday afternoons. And it was a great blessing to me to hear different Christian programs on the radio. So
that's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.